Hey friend, it is Sarah, and before we get to today's episode, I want to invite you to a free masterclass I'm teaching on May 16th all about how to advance your career by treating it as a product. I have this philosophy that the most important product you will work on is you. And similar to a physical or digital product, in order to be successful, products need to be intentionally designed, and then they need intentional marketing and sales strategies to stand out to their customers. And in your case, that might be companies you're applying to, your boss, your colleagues, even freelance clients. So I would love to have you join me May 16 for this free masterclass. Just go to careerstrategylab.com/live workshop and RSVP. Hope to see you there. Hey there, I'm Sarah Duty, host of the Career Strategy Podcast. Many professionals are seeking more impact, flexibility, growth, and let's face it, getting paid what they're worth. But how do you unlock this in your career? It starts with strategy. I'm taking you behind the scenes of what's working for my career coaching clients. You'll hear strategies and actionable, yet sometimes against the grain, advice for how you can be the CEO of your career and stop dreading Mondays. Ready to level up your career? Let's get after it. Welcome back, friends, to another episode of Career Strategy Podcast. I am so excited you're here with us. And today we have a very controversial, let's say, topic, and that is how to deal with ghosting in the job search. Why does it happen? Why are companies seemingly letting things fall through the cracks? And why can't they do better? That is what I hear a lot of times on social media, especially from candidates. And so I hope today's episode helps you realize some of the context behind being in the shoes of the people doing the hiring and how, number one, ghosting can happen in the first place. Number two, the reality that it's not necessarily intentional. And number three, what you can do to maybe minimize being ghosted in the first place. I want to start today's episode with a story because a couple of weeks ago, I was having breakfast in one of my favorite breakfast spots, and they were doing job interviews for people to work at the restaurant. So I was just sitting there kind of listening. It was hard not to. And after a couple of candidates came through, the guy that I think was the restaurant manager made this comment to one of his colleagues that they had recently hired someone. And I think this happened like on a Thursday or a Friday. And then the person's first shift was supposed to be on a Monday. And guess what? The person never showed up. And when the restaurant manager kept reaching out to them, the person ghosted. And so I share this story because there's a lot of talk about ghosting as in candidates being ghosted. But at the same time, candidates are ghosting companies. And the restaurant manager went on to kind of vent to this colleague of theirs about how this happens a lot more than people realize, because their colleague was saying, no, like, are you serious? Someone didn't show up for their first shift? And he said, yeah, like, this is not the first time this has happened. And it's just so fascinating to me because there is such a focus on candidates kind of complaining and being frustrated that they are being ghosted. But it also is happening on the other side of the situation. So today we are going to focus on candidates being ghosted in the job search and interview process. Maybe another time we'll do an episode about companies being ghosted by candidates even after they're hired, which seriously blows my mind. All right, so one of the things I think we have to talk about when it comes to ghosting is a lot of people take ghosting seriously, personally, and they feel like they are the only person that this is happening to. And so if this has happened to you recently, I want you to know you are not the only one. Don't take it personally. This is partially a function of how many candidates recruiters and hiring managers are trying to manage and deal with. And let's think about some things that you could do to maybe reduce the chances that you're even ghosted in the first place. So often I log into LinkedIn and see people complaining and about recruiters and hiring managers and how they're ghosted and kind of shaming them and telling them that they should do better and all this stuff. And it's like, hold on, let's look at what life is like in their shoes. Now, in no way am I trying to normalize ghosting or say it's okay, but I think the label of ghosting, it implies that it's intentional, and I don't think that's normally the case. So imagine you are hiring for a position. It's highly possible you could have 100, 200 applicants, possibly more. That is a lot of people to manage and to be in contact with. And there's kind of degrees of ghosting, right? Because some people would say ghosting is receiving a kind of automated rejection, and that is ghosting and it's not okay, and that companies should provide you with a multi-paragraph personalized response as to why you didn't make it to the screener interview. Now, if we look at this from a numbers situation, how would one recruiter or hiring manager find the time to write, let's say, 80 messages to the 80 out of 100 people that probably didn't make it to the screening round, right? That's a lot of messages to write individually. That's multiple days of their time. And so I think we need to remember that that is not intentional. That is just a function of how many hours are in a day, and that it is not, I think, humanly possible for people to do their jobs and provide that level of feedback. So that's one place where people, especially candidates, say ghosting is happening, but I don't think ghosting is really the right word there. However, the further you get in the job interview process, let's think about where else ghosting could happen. So let's say you apply for a job, you make it through a couple of rounds of interviews, and you feel like things went well after, say, the second interview, and then you hear nothing, and it's been 2 weeks. People might say that's ghosting after 2 weeks. But here's the thing. There are things within your control that you can do to try and keep that relationship or conversation going, right? So whenever people tell me they've been ghosted, one of the first questions I say to them is, did you follow up? Did you reach out? Did you send a message and ask what the status of the role is, what their timeline to hire someone is? Because if you don't have that information, then you don't have all of the context, right? And you'll hear me talk about context quite a bit, but it is so important to understanding the whole nature of a situation. And without context, we end up kind of inventing reasons for why things happened. And a lot of times, especially in the job search, one of those reasons is, I am not good enough. I must have failed. I must have not been what they are looking for, etc. And we assign blame or inadequacy to ours, when in reality, it could be that that person was on vacation. They had a family emergency and no one is covering their inbox. They had another role that got prioritized by their boss, so they are more focused on the other role and not the role that you applied to. That's what I mean by context. But if you don't ask the questions, then you won't have the context. So if you are in a situation where you feel like you've been ghosted, I want you to think to yourself, wait a sec, do I have all the information? And is there anything I could potentially do to gather the right information, right? Follow up, reach out, get answers, so you don't end up kind of self-sabotaging and believing that you were the reason, or that the ghosting is in essence a rejection, right? One thing I want to remind you of too, when it comes to follow-ups, is I think a lot of people are nervous to follow up or not sure what to say or worried that it'll make them seem desperate or overly eager or something like that. And in reality, I don't believe that's the case. I think a follow-up that could easily be one or two sentences at most is a legitimate thing that you can do to gather the information you need. Like I said, there are many reasons why someone maybe didn't get back to you, but you won't know unless you ask them. So consider sending a short to the point follow-up. People do not get replies to their follow-ups for a couple of reasons. Number one, the follow-up is far too long. I often see people write follow-ups that are trying to provide more information about themselves, tell like their life story or something. And it's like, this is not the time to do that. Because here's what happens. If you put too much stuff in a follow-up, then the one question you want them to answer, which is, what is the timeline for hiring? Am I still in the running for this position, or however you want to phrase it? If you surround that with a lot of other information, that question can easily get lost. So it's much more effective to just send a one or two sentence email that asks about the status of the role, the timing of hiring, when you can expect to hear from them next, and keep it short. That way, you're going to increase the chances that someone replies, because it's far easier for someone to just reply with a one sentence back to you to answer that question versus think to themselves, oh my gosh, that's a gigantic email. I'm going to put that aside and reply to it later. So I want to recap our ghosting in the job search. Number one, ghosting happens to many people. You are not the only person that's being ghosted. Number two, ghosting is not intentional. I don't think recruiters and hiring managers are sitting there intentionally not replying to you. I think there are reasons such as workload, prioritization of roles they're recruiting for, and many other things that could result in them not getting back to you as quickly as you wish they would get back to you. Number three, we have to make sure that you have the context you need. And if you want the context, you have to follow up. So if you're not following up, it is going to be worth it to invest the time to write one or two sentence emails, to just ask for an update, get a timeline, keep it short and sweet, so you don't end up kind of festering in doubt and worry and things like that in all these hypotheticals. So there we have it, ghosting in the job search. I want you to start doing follow-ups and to not take it so personally and to remember the situation, the context of the jobs that the recruiters and hiring managers have to do, because sure, they don't get it. They don't get things right all the time, but I don't think we can place all of the blame on them. I think most people are doing the best they can. And if we proactively follow up, we might get the answers we are looking for. All right. And the other thing I want to remind you is in episode 52, we talked about some of the things we talked about today, mainly if you are stuck in a situation, it's really helpful to look at the variables that are in your control and not within your control. And when it comes to ghosting in the job search, right, we can't control whether or not people reply to us. We can't control how many other applicants the recruiter is dealing with. But what can we control? Whether or not we reach out for follow-up, right? We can control if we send that email or not. We can control our thoughts, and if we are kind of catastrophizing and inventing reasons for why they didn't get back to us, and as we said earlier, assigning blame on ourselves as though I was not the ideal candidate, I must not have met the mark, I wasn't what they were looking for, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and instead catching ourselves and realizing, actually, that's not within my control, but what is within my control are these three things over here. So if you want to listen to that episode 52, it's very mindset oriented around kind of dealing with negative thoughts and imposter syndrome and tricky situations, then definitely check that out because it will help you reframe problems and realize when you think things are not within your control, there are probably a few things that are actually within your control. It's just that you're so focused on the things that are not within your control that you can't really see the things that you could probably take action on, such as with ghosting, right? It's so easy to just place blame on the recruiters and hiring managers, right? We see this on social media, people just talking trash about recruiters and hiring managers, but it's like, wait a second, we don't know their story, we don't know their situation, and did you ask? So hopefully this reframes ghosting in the job search for you, and I will see you on another episode. Thanks for listening to the Career Strategy Podcast. Make sure to follow me, Sarah Duty, on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, or LinkedIn. If anything in today's episode resonated with you, I'd love to hear about it. Tag me on social media or send me a DM. And lastly, if you found this episode helpful, I'd really appreciate it if you could share it with a friend or give us a quick rating on Spotify or a review on Apple Podcasts. Catch you later. Hey friend, one last thing before I go. If you've been listening to this podcast and thinking to yourself that maybe Career Strategy Lab could help you get to that next level in your career, but you haven't reached out to us yet, or you're kind of on the fence about joining our 3-month program, then I'd love to invite you to have a one-on-one call with Becca on my team. Totally low-key, really an opportunity for you to ask the questions you need to ask to find out if joining Career Strategy Lab is the next logical step to help you reach whatever your career goals are. So if you want to chat one-on-one with Becca, then go to careerstrategylab.com/chat and book some time on her calendar. All right, talk to you later.